We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what they call the 45th chapter, the 9th Pasuk. The Navi is now speaking about a new prophecy. If we were the ones controlling the chapters, so then this would be a brand new chapter. Until now, we spoke about Yoshio and the redemption. And now the Navi is going to speak about a future prophet who would be very frustrated when he doesn't see the redemption coming. So the Navi is speaking about Yeshaya, about Habakkuk. That Habakkuk is a very short prophecy. It has three sections. The first section is where Habakkuk says, "You've made humans like fish. How could it be that Bala Rasha Tzadik Mimenu? How could it be the wicked devours those that are more righteous than he?" Then Hashem shows him the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar, and then finally we have the prayer where Habakkuk apologizes. So there are three segments to the prophecy of Habakkuk. Our sages say Habakkuk draw a circle in the sand and said, "Rabon Shalom, I'm not leaving the circle till you answer me." And so our sages say, if Eov wrote a whole book in his questioning of how the righteous can suffer, Habakkuk wrote a short book on the same question. So now Hashem tells Yeshaya, why is Habakkuk arguing with me? He thinks I don't pay attention to what's happening to my nation. And that's where the Navi says here in Pasuk Tet, "Hoy, whoa, Ravet Yotzero, this man who comes to fight his creator. How could it be that Habakkuk is going to fight with me? Cheres et chalsei adamam. How could it be that he is like a piece of earthenware among pieces of earthenware, a piece of clay among pieces of clay?" So the Ribbon Shel Olam is saying he's a mere mortal. Hayomar chomer li yotzero ma ta'aseh ufa olcha in yadayim lo. Can mortar turn to the one who forms it and say, "What you doing?" Can he turn to it and say, "There's no room for what you're doing in this world"? How could it be that Habakkuk is a creature that I created and he turns to me and says, "What you doing? How could you be doing this?" Hoy, omer le'av, ma tolid. How could someone tell a father, "How are you behaving to the one you gave birth?" As though he is more merciful than the parent. You will see people do this to you. You'll be at a kiddush and you're going to think your child should not have another cup of juice and someone else is going to be nicer to your son than yourself. Of course, they don't deal with the hyper kid later on. They don't deal with all the other problems the kid might have from it later on, but they're going to be nicer than your own, than you are to your child. So the pasuk says to Habakkuk, how could you say you're kinder than the father who gave birth? Ul isha matechilin. Or tells the mother, what have you put in to the child? And techilin means, have you gone through birth pangs, giving birth? Chil kayoleina, the pangs of giving birth. So a person can turn to a mother and say, "You don't care about your kid." What do you mean you don't care about your kid? A normal mother does care about their kid. Someone standing from the outside can think that the mother's really unkind to their child when the mother really is kind to the child. Very often, people on the outside don't understand what parents are doing, and that doesn't mean the parents are wrong. So to Hashem says to Habakkuk, he's telling Yeshaya, your disciple, Habakkuk, how could he turn to me and talk this way? Ko amar Adonai, kedosh Yisrael v'yotzero. So says Hashem, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed Israel. Hashem said, can the mortar say to the one who forms it, "What are you doing?" Hashem says, Israel, so to speak, is my mortar. I am the one who formed them. Ha'otiyot she'aluni al banai v'al po'al yadai titzavuni. ha'otiyot, the letters or the signs. You, the prophets, you want to ask me what's going on with all the signs that we're seeing in the heaven? It seems like so many things you're allowing so many things to happen. Ha'otiyot she'aluni. You're asking me about the things that I seem to be indicating through the heavens, through the earth, through the kingdoms that are in turmoil. You look at that and you're asking me, what's going on? V'alpoal yaday tetzavuni. You're asking me, what am I doing in this world? Do you think you have a right to do that? Ha'otiyot she'aluni al banai. Can you start telling me why I did these things? Why did I create the heavens, says Hashem? Al banai. I created them. Everything revolves around Israel. So I formed them for my children. And yet now, v'alpoal yaday tetzavuni, you're going to tell me how to run my own children? We learned earlier about Koresh. Hashem says, I already created the cure. What's this similar to? We were once guests by someone for a Shabbos meal, and when I came through the front door, my kids were already there, and I said good Shabbos to one of the children, and the child didn't answer me. The child said, Abba, they threw candies in shul, did you bring me a candy? So I said, good Shabbos. And the kid ignored me again and said, Abba, they threw candies in shul, did you bring me a candy? So I said to the child, you know, I said to you good Shabbos twice and you didn't answer me. And the kid said, yeah, did you bring me candies from shul? I said, you know, if someone tells you good Shabbos, you're supposed to say good Shabbos. And if your father comes through the door, you're first supposed to tell him good Shabbos. You're not supposed to first ask him, did you bring me candies from shul? He said, okay, but did you bring me candies from shul? So I said, no, it's not okay. We're not going to discuss the candies. You're going to think about the fact that you're supposed to say good Shabbos, and then we can talk about candies. So the kid decided we're not talking the rest of the meal because he was upset. He wanted his candies. And I said, fine. And the host got very upset. It's your son. Didn't you bring him candies? Don't you think you should give him candies? So I had candies in my pocket for the kid. But the kid has to learn that you're supposed to say good Shabbos, and just because you want something, you can't ignore the basic decency of saying good Shabbos to your father, even if he hadn't told him good Shabbos. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I did all this for you. Ha'otiyot she'aluni, you're going to ask me about everything I did here. Al banai. But everything I did revolves around them. Now you're going to tell me about everything I do, how I'm supposed to do it, Hashem says. Now this is, it seems like an obvious question Hashem's asking, yet it's not so obvious. We can all empathize with Habakkuk. On the one hand, Hashem is saying, I know what I'm doing. You don't have a right to question me. On the other hand, we live in a world where we do have questions and we don't have answers.
Doesn't always look like he knows what he's doing.
Oh, so, on the one hand, Hashem is addressing in advance. Hashem saying, I told you there's going to be a Koresh. I told you there's going to be a redemption. On the other hand, we can all empathize with Habakkuk's questions. And so, as we read this, we have to ask ourselves, what is Hashem saying? Meaning, what does that mean? I created everything revolving around Israel. My focus is on you. I know exactly what you're going through. Why are you questioning me? But wait, what's the answer in that? I always say when we learn Eov, we have to learn Eov from the oncology ward of the children's oncology unit in the hospital. When you feel that Eov has answered the questions of why this child has to suffer and die, then you've understood Eov. If you don't have an answer to that question, you haven't yet learned Eov. To read Eov and think you have all kinds of answers when, in fact, you haven't really answered that child, so then you haven't found the answer in Eov. And the same thing I say about these psukim. What's the answer Hashem's telling us? And
to not ask the question though?
As in they say, Azul Pritecha, and you know, like, go, you know, go take another nation. I'm saying he's, Habakkuk coming from the perspective of Bala Tzadik, Bala Rasha Tzadik Mimeno. But, so he's saying, why are they being punished if they're, innocent? And on the other side, the guy was saying, punish them more. Like, you're not doing enough punishment.
Okay.
So there's a...
Okay.
Two sides to the... So he's saying they're deserving of more of a punishment than they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Do we consider you of a Navi? At the end, God speaks, but doesn't have any more questions. It's a little troubling that Habakkuk, who is a Navi, is still asking the questions. Of course, just because he's a Navi doesn't mean he's always in the state of prophecy.
Oh, but he's got, like, confirmation.
But well, if once he has had that... Then to still be saying, hey, we wanted it like this. It sounds a little whispering, but as Rob said, we can all identify with it. But then again, I'm close to Rob, so it's easier. Anyway, if you had that expression, if you were, but we know, and Yamsuf, they all had this, and they were complaining and stretching a little later. So just the fact that you have a Navi level doesn't mean that necessarily that you're going to be satisfied that Hashem brought this more correctly all the time.
Let's move forward one more pasuk. Anochi asiti eretz ve'adam aleha barati. I made the earth and I created man on it. Ani adai natu shamayim ve'chol tzevam tziveti. My hands spread out the heaven, and I commanded the order of the armies of heaven, the order of the order of the stars. I didn't see this in the commentaries, but I think that the answer to Habakkuk lies in these psukim. But it's a long piece. Should we take 10 minutes now to? Okay, the only thing that bothers me about what I'm about to say is that what I'm saying is put together from many different sources, but there's no one source that actually says what I'm about to say. So I can't say that I'm confident that what I'm saying is right. I can say that learning multiple sources, I have different supports for different parts of what I'm going to say. But the whole picture that I'm putting together now is not one which I can say I found written anywhere explicitly. This is my understanding of different sources put together. It's not, even though the thought is one thought.
Would you be able to repeat the question before
you answer? How is Hashem answering Habakkuk's question? Habakkuk is saying, how could it be that the wicked cause the righteous suffering? And Hashem's saying, I created this world. Look at all the world. I created it all for Israel. I care.
That's the beginning of Hashem's answer to the world as well.
Right. Exactly. And I think, working off of that idea, that's, in a nutshell, Hashem's answer to Iyov, I think when I combine this with the Medrash about Avram Avinu standing by the Akedah, and Avram Avinu is crying according to the Medrash, Avram Avinu is praying according to the Medrash, Avraham Avinu is hoping to come home with Yitzchak alive, according to the Medrash. And Avraham Avinu says afterwards, I didn't have answers to my questions. So then, what was going on there? What was the test? And what was the obedience in the test? How are we supposed to work all of these together? And I think the idea goes as follows. Take a person in a sterile state. Person, we'll take the average guy who goes to high school. He doesn't have real problems in his life. His major problem is that he asked his parents to buy Honey Nut Cheerios, and they bought the regular Cheerios without honey, and it's pretty annoying every morning to eat the Cheerios without honey till they agree to buy him Honey Nut Cheerios. He's got major problems in his life, right? Those are his major problems. He's wondering if the haircut everyone else is getting, he should also get. That's what's occupying his mind. So take the average teenager who's living a pretty docile life, and he doesn't have too many concerns. When he sits and studies the question of Hashem creating the world, Judaism being true, the Torah being true, Torah Shebaal Peh being true, he can attain a certain understanding because he's not faced with the major challenges of life. It could be he never faced death. It could be he never faced any real suffering. And he doesn't really have to deal with the question of the children in the oncology ward because his life is pretty innocent. Now, we would ask a question. Can he understand the truth if he hasn't been emotionally affected? I was posed a very difficult question, which I'm still debating about. There was a major Frum doctor who was asked in his decisions, a major doctor in an oncology ward. And someone asked him, when you make decisions of life and death for your patients, do you consult with a rabbi? How do you make these decisions? And he said, I work with the rabbis that come down and see the patient. He said, when rabbis come down and see what I see, when they see the patient suffering, when they see everything that I see, then I work with whatever they say. But when they don't see the patient, then I don't call and ask a question. And I heard the line, and I still am uncertain regarding the line, because on the one hand, when you see the patient, are you getting a clearer picture, or are you getting emotionally involved? Meaning, which way does it go? Is he saying, I can't convey over the phone the suffering of the patient when I ask the question? As much as I'll explain it, they won't understand it till they see it. Or is it that I want their emotions to be moved like mine when they make the decision? I'm not sure what he means to say. I'm not here to judge the doctor. I'm here to bring it as an example. When you have the person studying the philosophical questions of life, and they're doing it in a sterile environment, can they reach the truth? Does Avraham Avinu have to be at the moment before the Akedah, at the moment where he's been building up those 3 days, and he's standing there over Yitzchak, and he has no clue why Hashem just told him to do this, and it contradicts everything he thought he understood about how Hashem runs the world. And at that moment, is he going to gain clarity at that moment? Or does he say, I had clarity, and my clarity was that Hashem runs the world. And that's true. And now emotionally I am challenged because my emotions are raging and saying, I don't understand what he, blessed be he, is doing right now. Wait, does that contradict the clarity I had? There's clarity. I can understand he runs the world. And then there's the emotion of right now, this is very hard for me and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. The emotion doesn't contradict the logical clarity. It doesn't contradict it. Nothing changed. What changed is that now we're faced with a reality that is emotionally difficult for us. So, put more succinctly, just because I don't understand what God is doing does not question his existence or my responsibility to listen to him. I don't understand what he's doing when he makes it rain or when he makes it dry. I don't understand what he's doing when he gives life or takes it away. I don't understand anything he's doing. And that's what Hashem keeps telling Eov. Hashem spends maybe 100 psukim telling Eov, do you understand this? Do you understand that? Do you understand this? Do you understand that? You have chapters upon chapters of Hashem saying it from many, many different angles. What do you understand about this world? And the answer is almost nothing. So we don't understand Hashem. Can we understand that Hashem is running the world? Yes. Now we end up being faced with the challenges in life where emotionally a normal person is going to face challenges. If you're normal, then you have feelings. If you're normal, those feelings will lead you to a point where you have a question, Ribbon Shalom, why'd you do that? Why? Why does there have to be suffering in the world? Why does there have to be pain? And it can be the epitome of the question is with Avraham Avinu, because it's not an external force. Eov had to contend with external forces hurting him. So there's still wiggle room. Eov can say, maybe Hashem isn't involved in the decisions of the planets and the angels and whatever. There are other forces at play. Avraham Avinu is being told, you do it. That's the hardest. He's supposed to take the knife to his son's throat. How's he supposed to understand that? And he says, I don't.
After telling people not to do it. not to sacrifice their kids.
Spending his whole life telling people not to sacrifice their kids. So what's Avram's answer? His answer is, I don't know. As the Medrash says, if the Medrash didn't say it, I'm not sure what we would say. The Medrash says, Avram Avinu said to their Ribon Shel Olam after the Akedah, when you told me to do it, I had many questions, and I didn't have answers, but I didn't question you. So why didn't you question Ribon Shel Olam? The answer is because that's the message here. That's the greatness of Avram Avinu and the Akedah. The message is, just because in my life I suddenly have an emotional difficulty, that doesn't bring to question the clarity that I had in Hashem running the world. I had clarity and then Sodom was overturned. I didn't have questions there. Weren't there men, women, and children when Sodom was overturned? So Avram stands there praying, Ribon Shom, aren't there 10 worthy people in Sodom? Hashem's answer needs to be understood. Why weren't the children worthy? What does that mean when Hashem says no? I wouldn't do it if there were 10 worthy people. And what about all the children? So that needs some work. What's going on there in that conversation?
You're presenting two options, or is this the option you're presenting? Because you said in the beginning something else. You said that the more a person goes through trouble, the more clarity he has.
Why the more clarity?
No.
I'm saying the troubles a person has.
You can't understand questions of view and et cetera in a sterile environment.
Right, so I'm saying, on the one hand, the answers of Eov have to exist even in a non-sterile environment. On the other hand, you can attain a clarity in a sterile environment, and then the challenge is, can I hold on to that when faced with the emotional difficulties of the challenges of life?
Well, there was the great example when the doctor was not sure. In other words, rabbis emotionally evolved, who lets sway his judgment the way where he might not give a proper halachic answer. But the doctor made the decision, seemingly, and the rabbi says, I'm not sure if it's right or wrong, that, the one who is involved and sees what he sees, he feels more comfortable asking that one, and other than that, he won't ask. It's very possible you could have some girl on the door, a great person who has never been to a...
Right.
And would also give a...
Right.
Even more correct answer.
In that sense, my experience has been that the top, when we're going to the top row of halacha, the answers were ingenious and without being in the hospital. They were completely. In every scenario that I had to pose, be it the woman of blessed memory who a doctor's told her. This story goes back 25 years ago. They told her she'd only live another 3 months, and she lived another 5 years. And I'm saying, and there were constantly questions which operations to undergo and which chemo yes and not to undergo. And the rabbis worked with her through the labyrinth of decisions, and that was the first time I encountered it firsthand. Be it the other questions that I've seen over the years, I have never found that their answers were less than completely considerate. I have a very hard time with his statement. Meaning I'm not here to judge his statement, but I have not seen what he's concerned with. I have not seen that they lacked things because they weren't in the ward with him. But I'm not judging. I'm not,
give that point of view because, he seemed to more favor the other one. But maybe he didn't feel he had access to the fast people or numbers, whatever. I don't know.
I'm just saying, coming back to here. So when Hashem is answering Habakkuk, I don't know to answer for a prophet. But in my limited understanding, the major challenge is when a person has to deal with the pain that's very real and present. And Habakkuk's pain is not a personal pain. He is suffering the pain of the Jewish people. And when we take this vantage point of Avraham Avinu, Eov, the idea of the challenges of life not usurping the clarity that one gains when not faced those challenges, then I think the psukim fall into place very easily. Hashem says, I created the world. I created the world all around Israel. What's the answer in that? The answer in that is, you understood it full well, before you were faced with this challenge. I created the earth and man on earth I created. In other words, I created man in a state where he will not be able to understand me. You are different, right? You have a totally different perspective on life. And that's Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo yirani adam v'chai. Living man who's contending with the hardships of life cannot perceive me. To have that clarity of seeing everything that's happening in the world and say, yeah, that makes sense. No. And our sages say that Moshe's question, and here again we address your point of him being a prophet, yet the Gemara says that his question on his highest moment was, why is it that good people suffer? Why? So he had that question.
You only see my back, you won't know the answer.
Oh, so that means that even the prophet, although he has better understanding of Hashem than we do, there's an element where he still has that question. And I think that has to be the case because that's our b'chira chofshit. Our free will is, to a large extent, it stems from that question. If everything made sense, then how could you have free will? Then you'd always see Hashem in your life. If you could answer up every question, so then, yeah, it's obvious Hashem runs the world. We should. We should be searching.
I think the vast majority don't do that until they're pushed to do it.
Okay. But,
the ninth grader worries about you, he always doesn't. But when you're this age and you're here, I mean, hopefully there's some things you ask it, but maybe it comes from, I think it's a great truth, so you're always just the fact that there's something missing if you're not asking those questions. I'm still working on getting the clarity.
Rav Pesin Zatzal said that all the midrashim are answering that question. That all the midrashim really revolve around that one question. Tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. They're all teaching you different vantage points, different levels of understanding. But at the root of all the midrashim is that one question.
All the midrashim.